Country life is now off to a couple of beautiful spots near Cambridge in Waikato. The first place is very near the Maunga Tauriti Ecological Reserve. It was one of the first areas to be entirely enclosed with a predator-proof fence a couple of decades ago, and it's here where a company called Restore Native, which is owned by beef farmer Adam Thompson, is working.
What do a school teacher, beekeeper, lifeguard, occupational therapist and dairy farmer have in common? Believe me, there is a link. So you're one of the planters and the growers and the...
Be positive, Vanessa.
Vanessa's a dairy farmer.
Dairy farmer, yes.
Yes, yes. And this is what, your winter job?
It's my side job. At the moment I'm just doing a few days a week during calving, and then after calving finishes I'll come back. Every day.
Prefer one job to the other?
Dairy farming. But this is a really good feel about it because, a lot of people get a lot of stick about being a dairy farmer, and this is my way of putting back by helping out with the natives.
Counting. Yeah. Yep. Hi, Hannah, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well. And were you a teacher before, were you?
I was a teacher.
And you're not missing the classroom?
Not one bit. I'm a country girl at heart and I needed to find something outdoors, and Adam's given me the perfect opportunity.
G'day, Leighton.
Hi, how's it going?
And are you full-time with this job?
Just part-time. I'm doing it over the winter. I'm normally a beekeeper and, this is a good winter job to fill in while the bees are hibernating. Yeah, just enjoying being out in nature and... Yeah, it is good.
It looks like hard work, though. So this is a petrol-driven auger, is it? Or what are they called?
Yep. Yeah, that's
that
right.
That makes the hole?
Yep, yeah. It's not too bad, so long as the grass is short, we can get through quite a bit.
And great that it gives you, winter work, as you say, when the bees are quiet, you can be out doing something else. So where are we now? We've come to the base of Maunga Tauriti.
Yeah, so this is beautiful. We're looking up a gully... and that's up into Maunga Tauriti, which is the fence sanctuary. There's 3,200 hectares up there, fully enclosed by a predator-proof fence. And we're planting this whole gully. There's 60,000 trees we're putting in here. So we've been here for a couple of weeks, and we'll be here for a couple of weeks more. Yeah, really big project. Māori-owned land, and just like really progressive people wanting to, restore the land back to what it once was. They're stoked to see that restoration as we are to be here doing it. You know, they've got a much more long-term view than anything I've ever experienced, which is just bloody fantastic.
So that's the end part of Restore Native's role. Where did it all start? Here's Adam Thompson again. This is our third attempt, maybe.
Yeah, we've been punished by the weather as we have this winter, so...
Yeah, what a time of it, eh?
But, same before, we plant trees in the winter and, we expect a little bit of rain, but the sun's shining.
So. I know, so we've got a happy day.
Yeah.
And we're on the outskirts of Cambridge, your business that we're starting to look at here, Restore Native. Fill me in.
So we're a native plant nursery. We grow revegetation native plants, so primarily our customers are farmers retiring bits of land, and we also do a lot of council projects and some big sort of large-scale landscaping type projects too. But when we talk about restoring native, it's bringing that native bush back to areas on the land that should be, that's its best purpose. Yeah, as a farmer ourselves, like myself, we're the farmers are evolving and there's a lot more land retirement. So, we are geared to do that.
And how long have you been doing it for?
I've been growing trees for 10 years.
Wow, so you're a young man when you started.
Yeah.
You're only 36 now.
Actually planted my first tree when I was about 20 on my first property, second property. But I just love birds, and that's how it started. And then it was sort of like understanding that native bush connection. And, we started trapping predators and I got involved. And we met another guy, Peter Russell, started up the Predator Free group in Cambridge. And then that evolution of how the trees and the birds and the predators and everything connects, and then got into growing trees, and we've been commercial now for 3 years, at a larger scale. So
And what is larger scale? Let's see.
Half a million trees this year, and we'll be over a million next year. So.
And client base, so you're saying, sort of mainly is farmers retiring land?
Yes.
Any particular age group or type of farmer?
Now this is really interesting, actually. And actually, our farm here is probably a prime example. We bought our farm off an older chap. He's 80 now, and he said to me last year, we were up at Gully and we're planting some natives, and he said, "Oh, look, Adam, I cleared the tea tree, as he called it, off that that face there, 50 years ago, and here you are planting it back in now." But then he said, he admitted, like I spent 40 odd years spraying gorse out of there, and it's like, so it's those type of things where it's actually that land should have been left with the bush on it, but you know, like back then that was what you did.
What
you
we
know,
knew.
Get clear
yeah.
land, that's the
yeah.
best way of productivity, yeah. You know, build roads, you know, like it's what we do. So yeah, but it's all tight. So we have those older farmers, and obviously a lot of dry site farmers like us are normally older, but then we've got really progressive young farmers too who are looking at, hey, like our the market demand's changing, we need to be protecting the environment, and we need to be doing the right thing on farm, and it's just really cool, and really progressive people, really cool stuff happening. So, and that's why I'm probably out there on social media going, hey, look at this, you know, like this is what's actually happening out there, like it's and we go all over the Waikato and we send trees all over the North Island, and it's really heartening seeing what's happening out there. And
I guess there's no average client, but sort of what sort of money are farmers putting into these projects?
Yeah, now it's incredible actually, like how much money does go into it. You know, it's not cheap. Like we are selling trees for around $2.50, and you know, it's probably that much a gain by the time you spray and plant it. For our average farmer, is probably someone planting between 2,000 and 4,000 trees. So they might be spending $10,000 or $20,000 a year, and they're coming back year after year after year.
And do they get ETS, you know, carbon credits for the stuff they're planting?
So that's really interesting. Be careful of what I say here. there has been an inclination toward pine trees, and the legislation has been that way. And I'm sort of a view that probably when the ETS legislation came about, the pine tree lobby did a really good job. Pines obviously grow really fast, and they obviously do, you know, and they're large trees, and they do sequester a lot of carbon, and no one's denying that. But natives kind of got a bit of a raw deal, so they have the lookup tables. They called it regenerating scrubland, not talking about proper planted native, which can actually have quite an aggressive growth, and then if you get the tearing right in it, can sequester a heap of carbon and be a forever forest as well. So we do actually have quite a few clients who are doing, we're doing mixes of Manuka and Kānuka with things like Totara thrown in, so relatively cost effective, you know, so we can sort of establish them for maybe 2/3 of the cost of a normal native mix. It's still twice the cost of putting pines in, but you get a good long-term native forest, and you can then, ETS credits on it at a lower level than what pine trees give, but it's still often a better return than what some of those steep faces were giving in the first place, you know. Now, it's interesting, and we're doing more and more of it, and we've got a lot of orders for next year, actually, that basically people putting in for ETS on farms, and they're just taking out the unproductive areas, and then
But happy to put it into natives rather than perhaps before they'd have looked at pine trees, wouldn't they? I guess on, you know, because that was, as you say, years back, you know, farm forestry, that was the big thing to do.
Yep. And there's definitely a place for it, you know. I'm not by any stretch anti pines. It's and where they can be harvested, you know, and that's fantastic, and that's returning back to our economy, which is awesome. But if it's going to be locked up forever, I think, you know, putting natives into it is the right thing by the land, and we just need to make sure that the controls are there to make it the right thing to do for the other reasons as well, you know. And now we're here on our own farm, you know, walking the talk of what we're saying we're doing. We're retiring a lot of, you know, our steep gullies back into natives and wet areas, and, you know, which is helping us with better subdivision of the farm and, you know, better stock management. So we're getting more out of what we are farming, but we're sort of retiring more and more every year too.
And mortgage broking. So yeah, what?
Yeah. Well, that's a funny old one. I absolutely love it, and I'm still going to share in a business. So I've got four other business partners, so I still own a third in that business, and sort of spend 5 or 10 hours a week working in that. It's another passion that I'm doing here. So just got an awesome team. We've got a dozen people.
Actually. That's 12 in the mortgage.
Yeah, 12 in the mortgage business.
But how many in this business, and you're a store native one?
So we've got half a dozen permanent staff.
It's a lot more than a farm would employ, by a long shot.
And that's it. You know, if we look at here, the nursery sits on a couple of hectares, and you know it's far more productive than the whole rest of our farm. And I think it's like for a lot of farmers, it's that little bit of diversity gives them some balance. You know, a lot of people around here doing a little bit of horticulture and stuff like that. But yeah, it's great. And then we've got 14 in total on the payroll at the moment, because being our busy planting season, this is our busiest time of the year. Oh, this is kind of my project space.
And has this all been trial and error?
I famously say that you learn a lot by killing trees. And so, yep, I've killed a lot of trees to learn a lot of lessons. Anyone can grow a tree, but it's getting it to the right size at the right time of the year in an aggressive growing state where it's going to survive when it goes in. And so, yeah, you can see we've got a bit of equipment in the back here. There's a drum seeder there. The seed collecting thing's cool. We collect our seed locally, you know, the trees grow well locally, and we try to identify some good specimens and know that that's what we're putting out there. And I'm a little bit of a crazy man in the summer and autumn. I drive around with a secateurs and a big long pole pruner, and if I see a tree fruiting or seeding that I want to get seed from, I pull over the side of the road and I'm cutting things down. And yeah, and it's awesome because, you know, we know then when our plants go out the door that we've seen their parent plant. It's cool.
And for the stuff you've planted here, like, you know, yep. You see you've got a stream and things here. What impact have you seen the plantings having on your place?
Yeah, well, this is incredible. When we first came here, this wasn't fenced or anything, and there's a bank just over here, which was sort of collapsing in progressively. As we go further up the farm, you know, along this creek, you know, we've protected that now. There's basically no cattle in its water source, you know, so the sedimentation and nutrient loss out of our farm is basically going to be bugger all. Only 5 years ago, cows walking through those streams, so or pushing dirt into them. You can't fix that overnight, you know. Like, and even for an individual farmer, you heard the cost we're talking about earlier. Like, they just got to chip away every year and do a bit more. Should we go up and have a look at the bush? We'll just jump in the ute and we'll go up and have a look at these traps.
Excellent.
Cool.
Busy life though. How many kids are you fitting into this?
Two of them, yeah, 6 and 3. So, and they're great. And it's one of the big shifts for me away from, a more corporate type career, spending more time in the nursery is, you know, I'll pick the kids up after school or whatever and take them down to the nursery and they'll run around and start to teach them how to pot plants so they can make some pocket money. So, you know, that's good.
So fill us in on this bit. So predator control as well. What's this?
So we've got 14 hectares here in a covenant, mainly kakatea, a lot of kānuka and stuff regrowth, and then up the top we've got a lot of old santawa and pukatea and even a big rimu. And yeah, really, this was actually the thing that really sold me on the farm. Look, come up here and I just love the bush, and the opportunity to have big old stand native and to be able to protect it is just awesome. So planting trees is one thing, but you know, where there are birds and there are food, there are rats and there are possums and there are stoats, and just always building on the network in here. I think at the moment we've probably got about 30 odd traps in here, mainly rats, possums, mustelids.
So, and you're obviously getting involved in Cambridge earlier, you mentioned.
We basically started out with a bit of a crazy idea, and Peter Russell is a good bugger, and we sat down and had a coffee and said, yeah, let's try and put some traps out there. So we built some traps and went into people's backyards, and you know, a heap of other people are involved with it, really driving you know, rats and possums and backyard stuff. And so we're looking after our backyard, and like, where we're standing is there's a little stream running through here, and this is amazing. We were out here probably only 3 months ago, and you know, we've only farmed for a few years, and it was late at night, I was coming back with the kids and had my head torch on and looking, and there's freshwater crayfish in the stream, and I never even knew. And yeah, but we'll go and have a look at a trap.
Cool. Yeah, and it looks beautiful, clear, the stream. Wow.
Oh, that's awesome, eh? As well, like the stones in the bottom of that stream weren't there, but now we have removed, you know, the cattle from further up the headwaters, that this is starting to clear up. So it's amazing how quickly nature bounces back when you give it a helping hand.
Okay, so.
So, yeah.
Oh, gross!
Yeah, how good. So, this one's
been. Did you save this for me?
This one's been working. No, I haven't been down here for about a month. That's just perfect. So this is an AT220 automatic trap, and it basically kills rats and possums. And I've had a trail cam on another one further up, and it's amazing. You see a rat come for 3 or 4 days and kind of have a bit of a look and a little bit of a look around, you know, and then eventually, bam, you know, like, so it's, yeah, they're great. And, you know, to have this, like, constantly, you know, on the go, it's
Yeah, it doesn't matter, you know.
Pretty soon the birds are going to start breeding and there's less predators around trying to munch on them. It's just happy days, really. So,
are we going to make that 2050 predator-free?
It's really funny. It's very easy to go, oh, no, we won't, and, you know. But when I look at the gains, like, I've only been trapping stuff for 10 years, maybe. You know, it'll be incredible what's going to happen in the next 10 years. And because it's like a real country goal, like everyone's sharing their information around, hey, we can do this better, we can do that better, we can, you know, which is just awesome. Like, it is entirely attainable if, you know, we keep innovating. We're Kiwis, we're good at that.
And just to end quickly, we head back to that innovative sanctuary, Mangatatari.
Slippery on the farm track. Yeah, give the
project a bear.
There
oh,
you go, you're
going to
be famous. Yeah?
No, you go for it.
No, I've been
talking to you.
I want to talk to you.
I'm the sanctuary manager up here at Mangatautari.
Sanctuary manager.
I run the whole 3,500 hectares up here.
Oh, and your name? Yeah.
Bodie Taylor. What do you want to know?
Oh, and what does that involve, running the sanctuary?
Team collaboration and making sure that what we do is basically we've got 47 Ks around the whole of the bush up there. And with our landowners and with our stakeholders and also mana whenua, the iwi, we basically look after all our biodiversity and species within our taonga inside the actual ngahere.
And how have you seen it develop since the fence has been in?
Oh, it's fantastic. The foliage in there is just unbelievable. So it's almost gone back to a virgin state. The fence is amazing.
Did you think it would be that successful?
I was here years ago, going on 20 years ago, when they were first talking about it. And to be honest, it was, I don't think anyone did.
And good that they're planting up down the corridors coming off as well.
See these green deserts we call farms, right? They need the balance. And so in the gorges here, it's great to see Restore out here doing the hard yards with the community. And they are, the people that plant those trees, they're all just mums, dads, whoever, teachers, whoever, doctors, lawyers, all coming up because they just know how important it is to balance the whole ecosystem of farmland and the ecosystem of our native trees.
Excellent.
You're seeing everything now, Susan.
I've seen it all, right.
Yeah.
Adam Thompson, farmer and owner of Restore Native. Like Alistair Bird you heard 20 minutes ago, Adam has a strong social media presence, so check him out.